Hello, and welcome to another episode of All Things Loose and Disorderly.
Shackbaggerly. Shackbaggerly.
Shackbaggerly. First of all, a huge thank you for your lovely messages of support on Facebook, Instagram, and email podcast@theshackbaggerly.co.uk with regard to us not reaching the shortlist for the British Podcast Awards. You're listening. And that's what counts. So, episode 69. What have we for you with this particular number? Well, kilometres per hour in speed a great white shark can reach, so probably about 43 miles per hour. Ooh, scary. Airports in Azerbaijan and decibels of a loud snore. It's been another hot week here in the UK, so much so I thought best by Glyn a few new polo shirts which arrived just before we recorded the podcast, including a lovely pink one I'd spotted in a sale.
Is he happy with that?
Yeah. He did make some noise when I showed him it. But he suits pink, H. He suits pink.
Do you know, have you ever done that, where you've had your colours assessed? Because some people do that as a living, don't they? They tell you what colours will suit you. Mm. They look at your kind of aura and what have you, and they'll say, oh, yes, you are definitely a green person or whatever.
Mm. Have you had it done?
No. I just wondered, you know, thinking about with what's cooking, whether that was what led you to green in the first place. You thought, I look fantastic in green, or Glyn looks fantastic in green.
Thing is, this was over 10 years ago. We look awful in green now because it's the complexion in your hair, doesn't it? Flipping heck. No, and then I got him a grey one. So now he looks all right. So we had made him parade in his new tops. But he's dreadful.
Oh,
do you fiddle when you put if you put a new top on? What do you do with your hands when you put a new top on?
Oh, I don't, but Peter does. Yeah. Mm. Is it right at the back? And you think, well, yeah, it just feels a bit like, I just put it on and just, yeah. Mm. No, so you just fiddle. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, fiddling around the chest and pulling it over his chest.
Yeah.
I think, what are you doing? Doesn't it fit? Yes, it fits. Well, why are we fiddling? Yeah. But no, it's good. So I think that pink one, though, it might be a little, I mean, it is lovely, but I think he might need to start playing golf to get away with it.
Oh, do you think? Yeah. What kind of pink is it?
Dusky pink.
It's not like Barbie pink.
Oh,
it's
God,
not
no.
like really
no,
bright. Oh, no.
No,
it'll be lovely.
Yeah,
it'll be nice.
Yeah, if he plays golf. Yeah.
Oh, we just drank tea in unison there. That was...
So what have you been up to?
I've become slightly obsessed. You know, we were talking about living life, is it vicariously or vicariously?
Vicariously.
So I
through banana loaf.
No, with my sister's search for a new house. So I've been looking through, like, house hunting, even though I'm not actually looking for the house, you know, and I've sort of said to her, have you seen this one? Have you seen that one? And what have you? Anyway, the other day I was doing the food shop with my mum. I'm online. And then I got a text from my sister that said, we've just bought a house. So, yeah.
Oh.
So they're quite shocked by the fact that they put in this bid, which I don't think was, I don't know, I'm making this up now, whether it was high or not. I think they're sort of in a state of shock. So now, having seen that they've bought the house, went round to my mum's yesterday to do some gardening, took my laptop round and was able to show her some shots of the house and so on. But I find myself, when I should be getting on with some work, sort of thinking, carpets for the stairs. And then I'll start... It's like got absolutely nothing to do with me, but I keep wandering off looking at things for this house. Mm.
Can I just say at this moment in time that just to remind you, stool, cushions, I think you need to leave well alone.
Mug, yes, I know, it's just... But at least now I'm not doing it with my own money, am I? I'm just looking. I'm sort of window shopping for somebody else.
You could become one of those personal shoppers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I studied interior design, so I suppose that's partly why I just feel, ooh, compelled to have to look at this. This is my latest plan of their kitchen. It's like I just held it up to the plan that's on the screen and drew over it with a pencil, and then I'm like moving things around. Just stop it. Just
Before we do anything, I'm saying this early because we may do have to do a little bit of research. But we've heard from
Yeah.
Lisa, and she sent a message on Facebook. Hi to you, Lisa. I've been meaning to ask about the return of various saints' relics, including those of Saint Columba to the Iona Abbey. Have you heard or read anything about that? Now, this is.
Are we now just getting general questions about all sorts of things, do you think? This is quite exciting.
It is
Yeah. So
really.
we started off doing about on a food theme, and now we're on to saintly
Well,
relics. Right.
maybe she thinks of us as saintly relics. I don't know. And also, it's another good name for a band, Howard.
Saintly relics.
Yes. So, should we just write this? Well, write it down and then come back to it, because it's. I
Yes,
feel a bit
yeah.
guilty. I feel quite ignorant, really, because I remember the. What do they call them? Oh, the marbles. The
Elgin.
Elgin
El
marbles.
the Elgin marbles, yes.
That's the only thing that I recall that either should be returned or has been returned. I don't know any of these other saints' relics.
You've not got them. She's not asking. It sounds like an overdue library book or something.
Not that I know of. Not that I
No.
know of. We do have a loft, and I'm sure there's things in there that if we haven't seen them for 20 plus years, but I think I may have recalled if it was a relic.
Yeah. Oh, so what, tell me again what they are
Right.
then. They're
Yes.
on my list of
Okay. So this is Saint Columba
Saint Columba.
to the Iona Abbey, Iona Abbey. Have you heard or read anything about that? Well, the answer's no, but we'll have a look.
Right.
Yes.
So Saint Columba, Iona Abbey.
Yes. And just a quick one from Barry, who was listening to last week's episode, and she said, yes, that Greenwich is pronounced the same way as us, because we were talking about the Greenwich Museum, was it? The Greenwich
Yes,
Museum?
I thought afterwards how silly. Of course it would be, wouldn't it? Because there's like this Greenwich Village and that in New York, and that's pronounced Greenwich as well. So I think I did know that in the back of my.
Well, Barry said, but our Norwich is pronounced Norwich.
Oh,
And our Thames River is pronounced
Thames.
Thames. How did
Yeah.
you know that? That was weird. Thames.
Because I was trying to pronounce it in a different way, and I thought that was the most obvious alternative.
Then they also have towns called Glastonbury, Canterbury, Cheshire, Bristol, Durham, Stratford, Kent, and even Scotland. Talking about your sister moving to Scotland. She
Wow.
says the Puritans brought a lot of the UK over with them. And then I've got a little something else from Barry, which we'll touch on a little later.
So, I did that little video. If you're not listening to Jack Bagley, please do. We had some lovely comments on it, didn't we?
We
So I'm
did.
just trying to find one. There we go. So it was Carol who said, I'm having a terrible day due to one, my phone broke, and two, the corn seedlings I sat out yesterday have been completely mowed down by chipmunks. I'll be putting your podcast on as soon as my phone gets fixed because I need some cheering up. In the meantime, have you any recipes for chipmunk pie? Or how about fricassee? So I thought, I didn't know people do eat chipmunks. Did you?
I don't know if they do, but that's just being fed up with chipmunks and wanted a recipe. Are you saying to me that you've researched this and people do eat chipmunks?
I have, yes. Because otherwise, this would be a very short conversation. I had a look on Quora. I don't normally look on Quora, do you? Which is where people can sort of go on and ask questions and answer questions. So there's a thing on there saying, how do you cook and eat a chipmunk? And someone replied, please don't. This is not okay. But if you do, I would su suggest you preheat an oven to 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Skin the chipmunk, remove the bones and guts. Afterwards, prepare a marinating sauce. I recommend something with lemon juice in it, maybe a little garlic. Soak the chipmunk, give it more flavour. After it's marinated for about 1 to 3 hours, put it on a buttered baking sheet and bake for 45 minutes. Goes on to tell you about making a sauce for it and all sorts. But I thought, do we have chipmunks in the UK? No. I don't think we do.
No, chipmunks as a pet. We have squirrels. That's probably that's a similar version.
Exactly. That led me to thinking, do people eat squirrels?
Yes.
Well, yes, they do. So I ended up on a website. And actually, if you place your first order, there's 10% off. Whole squirrel, oven ready at $4.95. If you're looking for an ethical meat with a low carbon footprint, this is it. A light coloured meat, like rabbit, but finer textured and with a more subtle flavour. If you like rabbit, you'll love this. Suggest trying one of our ready-to-cook squirrels on the barbecue, casseroled, made into a ragu or slow roasted. You won't be disappointed. Yes, so have you had squirrel then?
No, I've been offered squirrel. No, we have a lot of we have squirrels in the garden and we dispatch the squirrels.
Right, but you don't?
No.
Don't eat them,
which I know is awful, really. But I did say about this years ago when we had that chap that I used to know was a Marine. Do you remember? And he came and looked at the squirrels for us and he left. He said he was toying with the idea of leaving the squirrels by our door. And then I thought, I'm glad you didn't, because it would be some kind of strange calling card. Do you remember that? No. And he
I do remember something about that, yeah.
And he said, 9 squirrels per acre you can get away with. Any more than that, you've got a problem.
Did you ever hear back from your mole woman, by the way?
No, I gave up on her in the end. Because she said, didn't she? She was that busy. So he's still here, or she. Who was that message off, that original chipmunk lady?
That was from Carol.
Right. You probably know this, Carol, but coffee grounds make an excellent barrier to keep chipmunks away. Yeah.
Do they? Yeah, they don't like coffee?
They don't like the coffee ground, the smell.
I can understand that because I've never seen one in Starbucks. So that probably makes sense then, doesn't it?
And let me just say, the calorie of a chipmunk is 102.
There's not a lot on them or squirrels.
No,
is there?
No.
Not really. Mm. I didn't know as well. I had a look in Lost Foods of England.
Mm.
One of the things people used to eat were badgers.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. A gammon of badger roasted. Oh, it says here, badger is almost unknown as a meat in England, but badger ham has occasionally been a local delicacy.
Good Lord.
So they obviously cure the badger, well, the badger meat, and then, I love your faces. Shall we start talking about something more appetizing than eating?
Because they're protected, aren't they now? Protected badgers.
Yeah. Mm. And hedgehogs as well.
Oh, no, we don't talk about hedgehogs now. Because we're losing them. We've hardly any left, Howard.
I know. Do you remember, thinking back to the sort of, when was it? It's not that long ago. They used to buy, 1981, it tells you here, hedgehog crisps. Do you remember seeing hedgehog crisps?
But that wasn't...
They weren't really...
No, they weren't hedgehogs. Because weren't they highlighting the fact that we were losing our hedgehogs?
I think so, but that was a strange way to do it, to make people think that they were eating hedgehog-flavoured crisps.
Yeah, not nice. Yeah. Not nice.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's made me... Sorry, I'm choking at the graphics on that. Isn't that lovely? Family Fare cookery book. Do you know when you show me certain things on your phone like that?
Yes.
I'm off again and thinking, I think I would like to own that one.
Is that what you do? Well, interesting enough, and again, it's as if we've rehearsed this. And trust me, we haven't. But it's the Vintage Scottish Women's Recipe Family Fare Cookery Book, 1960s Cooking Food.
I've got to get a copy of that. It's Family Fare Cookery Book.
Yes.
1960s.
Yeah, that's it. Published by the Friends of the Westminster Theatre, Scottish Women's Branch, and sold in aid of the new Westminster Theatre Arts Centre, London. I'm not quite sure what they were doing, if it was a Scottish and they were raising funds for something in London. But there we are. Anyway.
Oh, I don't know.
You know, we love an index.
Yes.
Yes. So we have content, soup, fish, meat, poultry, all the usual things. Then it goes confectionery, soft drinks, flowers, hints, accidents in the home.
No.
Yes. So, because this is Scottish, I thought, there's bound to be a couple of things that perhaps we've heard of but didn't know what they were. So I've heard of Bobbity. Yeah. Have you heard of Bobbity?
Bobbity?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, bibbity bobbity boo. No.
This has been sent in, and I can't. This... This has been sent in by a lady in Motherwell in Scotland. And you know, sometimes you think maybe, did they make some of these up? They send things
yes.
in.
Yeah.
So her name is Mrs. Smelly.
Is it a particularly aromatic recipe or hint? Or...
Well, here we go. So this is Bobbity. Fry an onion in lard till brown. Add and fry a pound of mince. Place in fireproof dish with 2 bay leaves. Lay over sliced tomatoes. Pour over custard made with 1/2 pint of milk and 2 eggs. Brackets, at this point uncooked, close brackets. Add 1 tablespoon of curry powder, 1 tablespoon of vinegar, 1 tablespoon of sugar, salt and pepper. Cook in a moderate oven about 1 hour until the meat is tender and the custard is set.
Oh! I don't get that at all, do you? I tell you what else I don't get. Did they not pour over the custard before adding those other...
They did, yeah.
The vinegar... Yeah. So the vinegar and everything is just going to sit on top, isn't it? That's not right.
Now, Bobbity, excuse my ignorance, I did think maybe it was something Scottish. It's a well-known South African dish. And sure enough, spiced mincemeat baked with an egg-based topping. Bobbity.
Oh. Well, I know it's like a lot of things, isn't it? I suppose you shouldn't knock it until you try it, but I'm not sure.
But do you think her name was really Mrs. Smelly?
Yes, I'm sure it was. And I'm sure she must have been absolutely sick of people... making jokes about it.
Now, this is Mrs. Glenn of 160 Queen's Drive, Glasgow. I worry when it's so precise.
Yes.
You may have heard this. It's a Swiss recipe. Ein Loaf Soup. E-I-N-L-O-E-F.
E-I-N-L-O-E-F. Ein Loaf. Possibly.
Mm.
And what's that? Is it soup, did you say?
It is a soup. And it's 3 beef cubes, so stock, 2 pints of water, 1 ounce of flour, 8 ounces of milk, 1 egg, parsley, salt and pepper, and that's it.
Do you think the Ein Löff means 1 egg or something like that? I don't know.
Let me have an Ein Löff soup. Because I saw this and I thought, well, I'll not have a look until I've spoken to you. It says things with Ein Loaf, as in noodles. Are you having a look?
And I've got carried away because there's 7 days on the vintage Scottish Women's Recipe Family Fair Cookery Book on eBay. Nobody's put the starting bid of £2.99 yet.
That's what you're going to do. I don't know what Ein Loaf really. I'm struggling. This one's 91 calories per serving. So a chipmunk has got more calories than Ein Loaf soup.
You know, I think people will be so pleased we've given them that piece of information.
I bet you remember it as well.
Yes, yeah. It says the letters Einolfen unscramble into 66 words. Well, you would do if it's got eggs in it, wouldn't you? Einolfen? No. Well, that's one we'll just have to leave with our listener, won't we?
Okay, Einlaufen.
Somebody...
Ein Loaf.
We
do have some listeners in Switzerland. Welcome to you. Hello. Accidents in the home. Now, I have to do this. I won't go all through them because they're really quite depressing. So you've gone through the whole book by now. So you've done all the contents, as it said. accidents in the home. This is written by a medical officer of health. So very, very serious, very important.
Yeah.
And it says, accidents in the home are costly to life, happiness and purse. More people are killed as a result of accidents in the home than are killed on the roads or streets. And more than two are killed every day at home in Scotland. Well, thank you very much indeed. That's cheered me up no end.
I think what's happened here, I think this is a friend of somebody like Mrs. Smelly's friend, who said, I've got some information on accidents in the home. And she says, actually, we're working on a cookery book at the moment. We can combine the two, save some money on the printing. Yeah.
So if you do get that book, you're going to get that right at the end for you. Right at the end. Hi to Sarah. Sarah Haig. I'm in sunny Rotherham, not far away. Thank you so much for cheering my Friday morning up. So I don't think we've ever had anybody from Rotherham get in touch.
No, I'm so pleased that somebody quite close to me, at least, is listening. I thought my reputation would have meant that we had to go abroad for listeners. But yeah, that's really reassuring.
Since listening to the podcast, you have me baking up a storm. You've inspired me. Next stop, Bake Off. Well, maybe not. But I am entering the Wentworth Woodhouse Victoria Sponge Contest. Let's see how that goes. I have made rhubarb jam in preparation.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. That is, when I've judged cake competitions like that in the past, you always admire the fact that somebody's gone to the effort of making their own jam. And I think the fact that it's rhubarb jam rather than the traditional strawberry or raspberry just adds a little, which it sounds exciting, that.
I've never heard of Wentworth Woodhouse. I've had a look. Grade 1 listed country house in the village of Wentworth. It looks beautiful. Is that near
it
you,
then?
It is
beautiful. Yeah, it's quite near us. I mean, it's not within walking distance unless I... If I set off now, I'd get there before...
Christmas.
Before it goes dark, but... They've got a lovely garden centre there as well,
lovely.
Which is, yeah, so it's nice.
You're really into your gardening at the moment, aren't you?
Oh, I am. Yes. Sometimes when my mum comes round, she'll watch Gardeners World.
Hang on. Sounds like she's been unconscious.
My mum visits us, baby. That's better. She puts on Gardeners World and... she has got a little bit of a crush on Monty Don, so she's quite happy watching that. But no, I did cut the grass and do other things as well. So
well done.
Yeah.
Laura's been in touch. I think it's Laura, L-O-R-A.
Nice. The unusual spelling, yeah.
From America. She says, I truly adore Howard's explanations to Katie's stories. The show is enchanting. I'm giggling along with both of you every week.
I never felt that I needed to explain you, do I?
You mean you're translating? Katie's just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awful, that. That's like mansplaining, isn't it? I don't think I do that.
No,
do
you don't. No, you don't.
Oh, good.
Shall we return to the St. Columba, the Iona Abbey yet?
Oh, yes. I'm not having much luck with finding them. Columba's relics were finally removed in 849 AD and divided between Alba and Ireland. The parts of the relics which went to Ireland are reputed to be buried in Downpatrick, County Down.
Good Lord.
With St. Patrick and Bridget of Kildare, or at Saul Church neighbouring. So these are... Oh! When it says the relics of St. Columba, is it literally his or her body?
Iona's in Scotland. Again, we're going back to Scotland. Iona's place in history was secured in 563 AD when St. Columba arrived on its white sandy beaches with 12 followers, built his first Celtic church and established a monastery. A monastery, yes. Iona has been described as the birthplace of Christianity in Scotland. So who's picked his relics?
I don't know. This is a mystery, isn't it? And the biggest mystery is why we've been asked it in the first place. It's like...
No.
Did we mention St. Columba or something like that? Perhaps we have. Perhaps we might need to go back and listen to previous episodes.
Here we go. So pilgrims travelling on foot by ferry from the Scottish west coast across the Isle of Mull and onto Iona Abbey. Contains the relics of St. Columba, St. Andrew and St. Margaret of Scotland, the country's patron saints. 60 people walked for dozens of miles for spiritual renewal amid the pandemic to return a relic of the missionary Irish saint to the site of his deeply influential monastic community. Ah, so they've gone back. I mean, we've learnt something, haven't we?
I wonder if, because I mentioned my sister had moved up to Scotland, whether she thought she was part of the pilgrimage or something.
With a giant cactus going up in the car. Well, we've heard of it now, Lisa, and good luck with your cake.
Yeah.
Have you?
I feel exhausted after that now. During the week, I shall see if there's any food link between St. Columba and that we could talk about. Yeah.
I meant to tell you before, we did that demos and toasted, didn't we, the other week? And I don't know what caused it, but I was talking about garlic breath. And a couple of members of the audience shouted out, "Eat parsley! Have you ever heard that? So if you eat parsley after eating garlic, you won't smell of garlic."
Really?
That's what they said.
I've seen garlic bread sometimes with parsley on it, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but I'd never heard it. I thought, well, Howard's bound to have heard it. The man of his culinary knowledge.
I have got a bag of parsley in the fridge. Oh. So
you
could try it.
Yes, yeah, so eat some garlic.
Experiment, yeah.
The best way to get rid of garlic breath is to chew on parsley. To chew on parsley.
Chew on parsley!
Can we blame the hot temperatures at the moment? We're not very good in this country, are we, when it gets a bit warm? Chewing on this herb, that's parsley, not Percy, especially the stems, will neutralise the odour associated with garlic breath, Howard.
Wow. That's really useful to know, and it's a huge relief to Percy as well.
Oh, I went swimming last night, H. I'm getting there.
Lovely.
Oh. Well, it is and it isn't. I keep going at various times to find a time slot where there's not many people there. It's just that I'm so slow. I have no technique. I think it goes back years and years. But I tell you what I do, I float beautifully. Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Fabulous. I do. But floating is not what you do, is it, in a swimming pool when you've got people swimming up and down?
No. And I always find if they've got, do they have you swimming in lanes as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's difficult.
It is. But, and then I thought, I remember, you know, when you sometimes go on holiday, you'd have flippers on, wouldn't you? You know, those things that swim.
Yeah.
I can swim fantastic with those on. So I was thinking.
So, have you got a pair?
No, but I don't think I'd be allowed, do you, to walk in a swimming pool with those big flippers on? I don't know.
I think if you've got a costume on as well, I think that's all right.
But I think that's where the problem is. If I had those, I think it's because I'm too short. Because they would make me at least a foot taller, wouldn't they?
I think the logic is definitely there. Yeah. So I just think, can you not give them a ring or whatever and say, excuse me, is it possible for me to wear flippers?
You know, I chatted about Barry, who got in touch with the Norwich and the Thames as opposed to the Thames.
Yeah.
Well, it's also carried on in her message about the recent chat about Betty Crocker. And so she dug out her grandmother's old copy of the 1950s Betty Crocker cookbook and had a good laugh over the illustrated housework shortcuts. And so Barry has kindly sent the picture of what she's referring to. So that's the picture of Betty Crocker's cookbook.
Oh, nice. Mm.
It's very similar in the colour with red and the gold embossed, a bit like the one that you want in Scotland.
I'll just write that one down as well.
I think we'll be coming back to this a couple of times because it is wonderful. So let me show you what Barry was looking at, these illustrations, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, look how, only I could hoover with purpose like that. And what's she doing on that one?
Well, this one.
She's collapsed.
It's my favourite one. So there's a picture of let's call her a housewife, because basically that's the stereotype, isn't
yeah,
it?
So
yeah, you've got a lady, there she is, with her pinny on, and she's lying on the kitchen floor by the looks, and that she is she's prostrate, and her arms are above her head. So she's lying flat out, and I can't do that. My arms won't touch the floor, because I've got such short arms.
But I don't think I've ever tried.
Try it.
Yeah.
And there's lots of Zeds coming from this lady's head. So she's obviously fast asleep on the kitchen floor. Now, if you and I walked in on this scenario, bless her, without the Zeds, you think, oh, this poor woman going back to accidents in the home, you'd think she'd done herself a mischief. It says here, if you feel tired, lie down on the floor on your back, put your hands above your head, close your eyes and relax for 3 to 5 minutes.
She's even fallen asleep in those 3 to 5 minutes. Wow.
You see, I don't think that will be any good for her back when she gets up. That floor looks really hard. I'm going to some more of these. Barry, thank you so much. We love them. Absolutely. We love anything like that. And hi to Cindy. You know, I said about hard-boiled eggs and the smoke alarm used to go off. Why set a timer for your eggs when you can have music? She sent me the floating egg timers that play 3 different tunes, and each tune is matched to a desired cooked egg. And that Cindy's in Bremerton, Washington State.
Wow, so it's a bit like when we were told to kind of wash our hands to 2 verses of Happy Birthday to You.
Yeah.
Presumably that it lasts a certain amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah. I know we've not mentioned the awards. We weren't shortlisted, were we, Howard? But hey. Thank you so much for all your lovely messages, and we will mention a few next week if we may. We're not going to have time today, but thank you ever so much. It means a lot, didn't it, Howard?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's lovely, yeah.
But we have had a review, and this is from Where Did I Put My iPod Touch? ? So this is a review, 5 stars. I've listened to 65 of the Shack Baggily podcasts so far, and Howard and Katie are like a pair of conversational butterflies, landing on subjects and flying off in all directions. They have me in fits of laughter. Episode 60 almost caused me to have an asthma attack from laughing so much at the sad ending for Katie's bootworm and Howard trying to get his shoes back on in the street. Then there's June, Howard's mum, a star in her own right. Please keep them coming.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, speaking of my mum, so she's been out this week. Oh, gosh, she was so, so nervous about actually going out. This was her friend, Chris, who some time ago had booked tickets for them to go and see this performance in Barnsley, I think it is. But Chris wanted to make a bit of a kind of evening of it, and for them to go out for something to eat beforehand. My mum was really nervous about the fact that she thought, what if I feel really, really tired? And my sister had said, well, you could always have a bit of a sleep on the way back from the theatre. And my mum said, you haven't seen Chris's driving, have you? So my mum's telling me about this. So she did have a lovely time. She said that it took us 3 attempts to actually get out of the car park to begin with. She said, and then on the way back, we're going round and round. Now, Chris has this habit of sort of driving in a way where she'll say, oh, I didn't realise that were there. And she'd actually, on the way there in the first place, gone into autopilot and thought she was going somewhere else. But she'll say things like, how long have these traffic lights been here and things like that? So my mum is naturally quite nervous. But as I say, on the way back, they're going round and round. And my mum said, are we meant to be going round? Or my mum thought, Chris said, I'm on a vibrator. So she said it something like that. So I said to her, I think it's a gyratory system. Which was a huge relief to all concerned, I think.
No wonder she wanted to go round 3 times. Oh, we love June. And the show she and her friend Chris went to see was Mario Lanza and Me. Wishing Howard's sister well with her new home. And if you're thinking of moving house, feel sure H would be happy to assist. And as for the Elgin marbles, they remain in the British Museum with the ongoing calls for them to be returned to Greece. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Oh, hang on, it's the phone. Oh, hi, June. Yeah. All right, enjoyed it. Well, do you fancy going round the M25 with me? No, there'll be no vibrating.